Good morning. Welcome to this space, whether you're finding us here on Zoom or hopefully at this point now on our Facebook live stream. We're so honored that you would want to connect with, gather with, learn from, listen to life and community here at Calvary Baptist Church. Welcome. As we were just talking about in our Zoom room before we were kind of more officially getting ready for worship, what a year January has been. We have lived through three incredible, daunting, unsettling, difficult, overwhelming three Wednesdays in January. The first Wednesday was January 6th, an insurrection on the Capitol building by white supremacists, which calls us to ask ourselves even, what is the deeper connection to this moment? Then the next Wednesday, the former president of the United States was impeached. And the next Wednesday, the third Wednesday, for the second time. And the third Wednesday, a presidential transition in the midst of great uncertainty, all of it happening in this city as we are living and enduring much. And so we also find ourselves entering the tradition, the story, the genius, the magic, the power of the historic Black church tradition, seeking to be a place that is shaped by a theology of liberation, a theology of liberation that informs Latinx liberation theology, that informs queer liberation theology, that informs womanist liberation theology. And all of it is inviting us to imagine what freedom is. And sometimes these traditions can send us to the brink of despair as they point us to the pain and very real suffering around us and among us. And sometimes these traditions bring us to the very mountaintop of joy, inviting us to imagine again what the world might be if we dream it together. This is what a poet, prophet like Amanda Gorman invites us to this past week. But there is a tradition that surrounds her. There are thousands of poet, prophets like her, shaped in a beautiful way. And so I invite you to hear these words about the Black religious tradition in America by theologian James Cone as we continue to press in and imagine this morning. He says this, he says, Black worship itself is a liberating event for those who share the experience of the people that bears witness to God's presence in their midst. Through prayer, through testimony, through song, through sermon, all things we will do today, thank God. The people transcend the limitations of their immediate history and encounter the divine power, thereby creating a moment of ecstasy and joy wherein they recognize that the pain of oppression is not the last word in Black life. It is not unusual for the people to get carried away with their feelings, making it difficult for an observer to know what is actually happening. I love that line from Cone's. But the meaning of this event, according to the people, is found in their liberating encounter with the divine spirit. So we come this morning to encounter. We come to be shaped. We come, whether it takes us to the brink of despair or the mountaintop of joy, to be shaped so that we might still speak freedom into the world, no matter what next Wednesday brings, or the next Wednesday brings, or the next Wednesday brings. So let's sing together that we are walking, we are marching in the light of God.
Si ambas tu cambian cuerpos. Si ahamba tu ganyan kwenko. Si ahamba tu ganyan kwenko. Si ahamba tu ganyan kwenko. Si ahamba, ahamba, si ahamba, oh, si ahamba tu ganyan kwenko. Si ahamba, ahamba, si ahamba, oh, si ahamba tu ganyan kwenko. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. Caminamos en la luz de Dios. 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 Caminamos, vamos, caminamos, oh, caminamos en la luz de Dios. Caminamos, vamos, caminamos, oh, caminamos en la luz de Dios.
Good morning, Calvary members and friends. Welcome you to this sacred place, and thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Nancy Renfro, Deacon of the Week. My contact information is located in the bulletin. If you just scroll down, I hope you've found the bulletin, and I'll post that link. I'm here for you this week to share any of your joys, celebrate you, join you in any sorrows. Anything you want to celebrate, you can call me, contact me with the email. I'm here to lend a listening ear or help you find support in any other way you might need it if you want to share with us. Please join me in the call to worship in your bulletin. O God of our weary years and God of our silent tears, God who has brought us thus far on the way.
Hear us, O God, for your Black children continue to offer a wellspring of vision and voice in the deserts of the American imagination.
O God, you assured us that you have heard the cries of your children, that you have seen the plight of their suffering, and that you would shadow them beneath your hand.
O God, we ask that you deliver us from the violent white supremacy that surrounds us. God, we ask that you make your justice flow and your righteousness fall like an ever-flowing stream.
O God, we know that you do see our suffering and you hear our cries. We know that despite the structures of this world, Black lives do matter to you. And Black lives have always mattered to you. Black lives will always matter to you.
Oh God, then let us awake. Let Black lives matter to us in America, and let Black lives matter all over the world. Let us be a church where Black lives matter, and even more, where Black lives are held as sacred, as precious, and beloved by God.
Please join me in the passing of the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
La paz del Señor sea contigo.
Y contigo también. Pass the peace.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to see if our children could join me for just a minute. This was a really big week, huh? This was a week that we have been waiting on for a really, really long time. This week, we got a new president. This week, we got a new vice president. Do you know, and she is the first woman to ever be in that role, the first Black woman to ever serve in that role, the first South Asian woman to be in that role. And as many have said, it's very important to see what is possible. We had another person that we met this week that many of you saw. The person, her name was Amanda Gorman. Pastor Maria mentioned her already. She was the first youth poet laureate, but that wasn't something that she became this year. She actually became the first youth poet laureate in 2017 when she won that competition. What that means essentially, when somebody is the poet laureate, that's a really big word, but she's somebody that was chosen to compose the poem for this very special event. Amanda Gorman was 22 years old, and she recited her poem, The Hill We Climb. There's a picture of her there. And the way she ended her poem was to say, "For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." It was really incredible to get to see her use her words and the rhymes and everything. And she told the truth about where we are and have been. And she imagined the future we could work towards and build together. I was reading about her. And do you know what I learned about how she started writing poetry? She started writing poetry by writing songs when she was 5 years old.
Five?
Yeah. Wow. 5 years old. You know how sometimes Pastor Maria likes to make up a song as we start worship each day? Well, she started writing songs at 5 years old. And then the older she got, she started to focus more on the words and the rhyme and the rhythms. And she says she uses the rhythm and the spoken word to make change, to make things better in her community. She was amazing. And there are so many other amazing poets, writers, artists, musicians, scientists, and more for us to discover and see together. In fact, many of them are here on this Zoom call in this Zoom room.
I can see them.
So today, as we worship, I wonder if you might draw a picture, write a poem or a song or a story about how we can make the world better together. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the wonderful talents of Amanda Gorman and the way she inspires us to look to how we can imagine a better world together. We pray all these things in the way of Jesus. Amen. Now is the time in our worship where we have the chance to give back just a portion of what has been given to us, and invite you to go online to calvarydc.org/give to share your tithes and offerings. As you know, we continue to offer support to one another in our community. We continue to be committed to being a community that builds justice in this world through love. Will you give today? Thank you.
Now we will hear sacred words from the text.
The scripture lesson this morning is from Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 15. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Friends, it is my honor and privilege to introduce our guest preacher for this morning. Our guest preacher is a friend, is a colleague, and he is also my brother. I've known Minister Zogi Earl Reeves for most of the time that I've lived here in the Washington, D.C. area, and he is somebody that I go to for advice, for wisdom, for courage, and for insight. And so, it's a powerful thing to get to have my brother, one of my favorite voices, theological voices, and prophetic voices, joining us today. You know, our theme for this morning is that Black truth tellers matter. We see Martin behind me, and we heard from Amanda earlier this week the words of James Baldwin and Malcolm X and Toni Morrison. All of them are truth tellers, and their words tell us something about this country if only we could find the heart to hear it. And so thinking about Black truth tellers matter, I had to come to the best truth teller I know. And that's my brother, Zogi Reeves. And so, Calvary, it is a delight to have Minister Zogi Reeves, who is an educator and a preacher and a minister and a leader in the movement, one of the most fearless people I know. And I look up to him literally because he's 6'5". And I'm grateful for his voice today. So we will hear from Minister Reeves, and thank you for being with us, Minister Reeves, in our virtual worship this Monday morning. Friends, in the tradition of Black truth telling. Hear these words from James Baldwin. He writes, "What you have to look at is what is happening in this country. And what is really happening in this country is that brother has murdered brother knowing it was his brother. The white men have had Negroes lynched knowing them to be their sons. The white men have had Negroes lynched knowing them to be their sons. White women have had Negroes burned knowing them to be their lovers. It is not a racial problem. It is a problem of whether or not you're willing to look at your life and be responsible for it. And then begin to change it. See, that great Western house, the house I come from, is but one house, and I am one of the children of that house. But simply, I am the most despised child of that house. And it is because of this fact that the American people are unable to face this fact that I am flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone, created by them. My blood, my father's blood, my ancestor's blood is in this soil. The future. The future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country itself. So it's entirely up to Americans and their representatives. It is entirely up to us, the American people, whether or not we are going to face and deal and embrace with the strangers that they have maligned so much. So, what white people have to do is to try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a Negro in the first place. See, I am not a Negro. I am a human being. I am a man. I am a person. But if you think that I am a Negro, it means that you need one. And the question that you've got to ask yourself, that white people of this country have got to ask themselves, North and South, because it's one country, y'all. And for the Negro, there is no difference between the North and the South. It's just a difference in the way they castrate you. But the fact of castration is still an American fact. If I am not the Negro here, then, and you invented him. You, the white people, invented him, then you've got to find out why. In the future of the whole country. And I would just add to the great James Baldwin, the future of the whole world depends on whether or not they are able to ask that question. What white people have to do is to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a Negro in the first place. Because I am not a Negro. I am a human being. The future, the whole world depends on whether or not we can deal with that question.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world abroad, if I can spread love's message that the Master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain.
Bless the Lord at all times, for his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You missed your cue. If you woke up this morning and the Lord purposed you to your cameras this morning, you ought to give God some praise. I would like to see some hand clapping, just a little bit, a little thanks unto God for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, putting food on our tables, keeping us safe. Amen. I am so glad to be here. I'm elated. I'm excited. I'm also extremely nervous. Being a Washingtonian, you know, you see churches all the time when you take the metro. And I always would see the red brick church behind Fuddruckers growing up as a kid. And so to be here today, preaching at the big red church behind the Fuddruckers, it is so great to be here with you all. And I say hello, adieu, hello, I love you. I'm glad to see you. I am you because you are. And I thank God for this. I also want to take this time to thank Pastor Sally and Maria for inviting me. I really love you guys. They are y'all have some really cool pastors. I've been in some great spaces with them where we can just talk about pretty much anything. And that's what I love so much about Sally and Maria. They're just great. Love you guys. Thank you once again. And God bless you. Continue to bless this church. And to my brother beloved, who gave you a very crazy introduction, but I appreciate it and I love you very much. Elijah, I met Elijah at Calvary for, we used to have like this group of African-American preachers who would come together to sharpen our swords for ministry. And I then found out that he was from Liberia. And so we went from just being casual friends to now Elijah is one of the most important friends I have in ministry. There's three of us. I call us the outcast of ministry. If you know the rap group Outcast, we all switch into the three different artists in Outcast. So one day, I miss Fudd Records too. One day, Elijah is Andre 3000. The next day, I'm Big Boy. And then sometimes Trey is Smokey. I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Smokey Brown, I think. But I thank God for my friendship with Elijah. Also to Deacon Lauren. I saw you in the group chat as well. My dear friend, love you to life. I do not want to be here too long. So if you have the next 2 hours free, I would like to take that time and break bread with you. No, I promise not to be that long. I just want to highlight one particular verse out of the scripture lesson. And also, well, when we get in the car and we see what's going on, amen. So I'll just say it. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land ye dwell. That's in the King James Version. Bear with me 1 second as I read this verse of a hymn. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on solid ground. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask now, Holy Father, that you come into this space. Have your way. Remove me and do what you have to do. In your Son's name, Jesus the Christ, and also in the ancestors who flank me right now in this Zoom. Amen. I want to talk to you all on this theme called what's the narrative, what's the choice, what you're going to do, another way of saying what's the narrative. And I start off with this poem by Langston Hughes. Says, I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me in the kitchen to eat when company comes. But I laugh and eat well and grow strong. Tomorrow I'll be at the table when company comes. And nobody will dare say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too am America. This past summer, during the great pandemic of 2020, right before the fourth holiday, I had a daunting task of building a fire pit. We purchased the stone, we repurposed bricks, and after working almost 6 hours to complete the fire pit, I was exhausted, but I immediately wanted to try it out in 80 degree weather. A few days later, I got to come back to my friend's house in which I built that fire pit, and her family had traveled from Massachusetts to come and warm up her house. And my friend had a little cousin who, after eating to his heart was content, he decided that he wanted s'mores. So we had marshmallows, we had chocolate, and the fire pit that I had assisted in building was lit and being used. I got excited as I watched the young man attempt to put his marshmallow in the fire. And every time that young man would put the marshmallow into the fire, he would let it get toasted. And as soon as he was ready to engage the fire with the marshmallow, smoke would come into his eyes. I believe that's what's happening across this nation right now. We are caught up in the smoke, caught up in smoke that has allowed us to divide ourselves into two different kinds of people, two different kinds of stories. The smoke and mirrors that the United States has placed in us has us dazed and confused. And I decided to look up the definition of narrative, even though everyone knows what a narrative is. It is a spoken or written account of connected events, a story. Langston Hughes writes in this play, a story in which you want to present the best side and not the story of the darker skinned people who helped build this, actually who built this country. There's a narrative, there's a thread line, there's a system, there are things that are happening in the United States in which we do not want to talk about the ugly truth that has happened in America. And beloved, I just came here to tell you that we have a choice to make. And I say we, but essentially I am talking to my white brothers and sisters to say, you have the choice now to tell the truth about the narrative of this nation. Because quite frankly, as I sit here and I reflect on the United States of America, and the more I get to know a God who I cannot understand fully in depth, I know one thing for sure, that he has got to be tired of dealing with the race relations here in the United States and across this world. It is your choice. And I definitely want to say not your choice, because I too have to participate, but I want you all to think deeply in how you tell stories and tell the truth about this country and about our current condition. There are some things we do to make ourselves heroic in which they tend to not often correlate with what's actually happening. I'm going off script here. One of my favorite things, one of the things I've picked up during the pandemic is that I like horror noir, which is horror written or directed by African Americans. And the interesting thing is there's a documentary on Amazon and it talks about the evolution of horror and how at one point in time it was used as a scare tactics to scare our white brothers and sisters into believing that we were hypersexual, very promiscuous people. It painted our women and children as animals. And it was a way to scare and to give tactics to our white brothers and sisters. But over time, you see a drastic change in the narrative of Black horror films. Black horror films now give you a background story of why something is occurring in this nation. It's very interesting. You want to check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. But one of my favorite directors is Jordan Peele. And a year ago, Jordan Peele had the opportunity to create a film called Us, in which there were people who were living on top of other people. And because of the choices of the people up top, the people at the bottom had no choice in how their lives ended up. It was only when someone who had been exposed to what it was like to be in freedom. When she was swapped, she was able to go down and liberate and free those who had been living in the bottom. It's an interesting aspect because generally we would say, oh my God, these people are just coming here being violent. But the reality of it is that we never pay attention to the whole story that is happening to people all across this land. We're dealing with the three-headed monster that Dr. King talked about. Dr. King said that there were three monsters. There were three monsters. There was capitalism, militarism, and racism. Now, you can see how this narrative has influenced our current predicament in the United States. We see capitalism now has dressed itself in drag and called it Christianity. We see a Christ that is a magician that absorbs our personal sins and not the systemic sins. We see the explosive nature of large churches where there is no community activity or community engagement. Pastors have gone from shepherds to cattle herders. Capitalism has infiltrated American Christianity. Not to mention what is done to the moral, the psyche of a person, that if they just think they have good thoughts, then good things would happen to them. This is all encompassed in what is happening to this world. Capitalism has seeped into every bit of American Christianity. And we ought to call it out. We ought to exercise it out. We ought to find ways to sanitize and to clean what we have experienced. American capitalism is demonic. It is the devil itself. And it has grasped a hold of what we believe Christianity is. That's one, American capitalism. Capitalism, Dr. King said capitalism. We have a choice in how we tell this story. We need to address capitalism. Second one is militarism. Militarism. Militarism in this nation, we as we grew in population and size and in wealth, the imagination of paranoia, the paranoia of the United States of America caused us in the early 1950s, in the 50s, we changed from being a nation that did have an army to a nation that only led solely to the army. I was watching the inauguration, and I extremely felt troubled that in the midst of us not having a parade, they were still able to parade the military in front of President Biden and Vice President Harris. I was troubled by that because militarism in the United States, holding the hand of capitalism, has challenged us and has threatened us, and it is scary. Anytime that you can pick up an AR-15 and go into a school building and shoot children, that addiction to militarism has seeped down all the way down into regular lives. Why do we have congressmen and women carrying guns onto American territory, onto the House of Democracy? Militarism. To a point of now we have, I'll give you an example. 3 days during the George Floyd protests. Matter of fact, I was talking to my cousin yesterday and I told him I had a conversation with my uncle, and my uncle was concerned about me because he said, I see you didn't post anything on Facebook during the inauguration. I see you didn't do this. And I said, Uncle Eric, it was because I thought the world was going to end We saw an insurrection and impeachment, and I thought that there was going to be martial law. And I said, you didn't experience what we saw. He asked, well, everybody else is acting fine. I said, you did not experience what we saw. Almost in a 10-block radius of the White House in the Capitol during the summertime, we had tanks. There was a Black Hawk helicopter on 16th Street. There was an urban, it seemed as if the military was about to assassinate children, grandparents, who all came just so that they can protest the right to live. They use the biggest force of militarism. I remember standing in front of the line, putting flowers on the feet of the army as they held grenades, as they held guns. One guy, Elijah, he had to have been your height. He had a gun that was taller than him. And I feared for my life. So we don't see this frequently, but the merging of capitalism and militarism has really gone right in hand into racism. We see what happens when we select the wrong leader of this country. We see what happens when we do not hold people in check for what they have done and how they've exploited this place. We need to call these things out. If we do not call these things out, we will continue to see this in different ways. It's almost as if you're watching a Disney Channel movie, Hercules, and it was his first time going out into the fight, and he saw the one-headed beast, and we thought that one-headed beast for us was racism. We cut off the head of racism, and here is militarism, capitalism, and racism reborn. So one of the things I want us to pay attention to is this ungodly marriage of these three and how they consume us into a point of fear, into a point of division, into a point of hatred. I've never seen in these last 4 years the amount of hatred that I've seen in any time in my life. I've never feared for my life with the militarization of the police until these last 4 years. And I simply ask for you all, for us, that we tell the truth. We be honest with each other. We look, we demand that we have peace. And I say this because I've been reading Bell Hooks, and Bell Hooks talks about this idea of what it actually means to love. Bell Hooks talks about this, and she talks about love in a way of how we treat people. And we can really, truly not know love until we know justice. The absence of justice is not love. It is just an expression. When we are just, when we confront and tell the truth about this country, we will find out that it is love that we all need to resolve this issue. I realized I didn't resolve the issue with the young man who was sitting at the fire pit trying to warm up his marshmallow. He went to his mom, he cried and said, every time I get to put my marshmallow in the fire, the smoke comes in my eye. His father looked at him. He said, son, what's wrong? And he explained the story again. And this parental figure looked at him and said, every time you see smoke coming, move to the point where smoke is not in your face. He said, keep your eye on the fire. Keep your eye on what's going on. Keep your eye on telling the truth. Keep your eye on expressing the narratives of those who do not have the power or position that you have. Keep your eye on those who are depressed, oppressed, who lie to themselves. Keep your eyes on the fire. Keep directly to this fire. And I'm telling you this right now with every confidence in my brain that, yes, we are right now in a very tender spot in this nation. For quite some while now, I have been telling my friends and anybody who would listen to me that we might be experiencing the third reconstruction that Reverend Barber has talked about. But the reality of the third reconstruction is that there is still a war that we will see and that we will also not see. And every time we go to another side, we have to be mindful that there are men and women who have been cuffed and have self-injured themselves, roaming around a graveyard. You want to know what the graveyard is? The graveyard is white supremacy. They're roaming around a graveyard. And when we ask their name, they'll say, their names are legion and they are many. We have to continue to find a way to resolve and to see the humanity. That's what Christ tells us, to look at the humanity of one person, to look at the humanity of these people roaming around the graveyard of white supremacy and cast them into the pigs of capitalism, racism, and militarism. Beloved, I want you to find a way to tear the narrative. And I know I didn't get to Joshua, but I'll tell you what Joshua says. Joshua says, look, you done got this free land. You have killed people. You have robbed people. And now you think you've been worshiping the right God. Josh says right here, right now. Jimmy says right here, right now. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. James says we have a choice in how people of color will be treated in this nation. So I ask you today, what is the narrative? What is the truth? Where is the absolute love? It's in how you tell this story in the present day. God bless you and thank you.
Amen, amen. Choose ye this day. We've been invited to make a choice. Narrative, a spoken or written account of connected events. We've been invited to choose the spoken or written account of connected events we will tell as a church, as a people. Minister Reeves, you mentioned the Reverend Dr. William Barber. He preached this Thursday morning at the National Prayer Service. In the midst of all the calls we hear these days, Reverend Barber talked about what it's going to take for this third reconstruction, what it's going to take to repair the breach. And he ended his sermon this week, this Thursday morning, just a few blocks from wherever all of us is right now, with the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. We're going to sing three stanzas of it. And as I was looking at it just now, was realizing the way in which it deeply speaks to these three isms: capitalism, militarism, racism. The first stanza invites us, calls us, demands of us to ask, what kind of church will we be? Will we be one that brings its bud to glorious flower? And the second stanza asks God to cure thy children's warring madness, militarism. The third one, save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Will we call racism the evil that it is? So I hope and pray this hymn speaks back to us about the narrative we've been called to speak today. Let's sing together.
God of glory, on thy people for thy power. Crown thine ancient church is glory, bring his love to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Cure thy children's drawing madness, bend our minds to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's call. Save us from weak resignation, for evils we deplore. Let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore, serving thee whom we adore.
We give thanks for that beautiful music, Michael and Dave, and we give thanks for your words, Zoe, Minister Reeves. We thank you. We thank you for telling the truth. We thank you for lifting up the voices of truth tellers, Jimmy and Josh, the young man and his family, and you yourself, Minister Reeves, you are a truth teller to remind us of the triple threat of militarism, materialism, racism that Dr. King pointed us to. We thank you for truth. And so as we go remembering too that Black truth tellers matter, and it might be interesting to pull this phrase, but part of the reason it's necessary to say it, as Minister Reeves knows, so many Black truth tellers have been struck down. Fred Hampton was struck down for telling the truth. Nat Turner was struck down for trying to tell and preach the truth. Fannie Lou Hamer was kept out for trying to speak the truth. Alicia Garza was demonized for telling the truth. Martin, Malcolm, and Medgar were gunned down before 40 for telling the truth. But we know how costly it is to tell the truth, yet though and Jimmy and the Bible tell us that we must choose this day whether or not we'll tell the truth anyway. So as you go in peace. But most importantly, go with truth. Friends, may the road rise to meet you. And may the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine gently upon your face, and may the rains fall gently upon your fields. And may God, the God of Abraham, Hagar, and Moses, may God, the God of Joshua, Jimmy, and Martin, may God, the God of our fathers and mothers, may God of all of the truth tellers be with you as you go. Go in peace to love, serve, and be truthful to the world around.